Hello, next generation controller jockeys, and welcome to episode 76 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we will be discussing some reservations that a key member of our cast is having surrounding the next generation consoles. But we have no reservations about sharing with you what's been going on in our lives in the past week with our weekly roundup. Brian, why don't you let me know and our audience know what you've been up to in the past week?
My week was mostly work. It's pretty busy season for my job. But this weekend, I had a really astoundingly good time. It was a pretty busy weekend just down here. There was a 30th anniversary party for some comic book company. There was a 25th anniversary party for our beloved adventure game store. And there was Tate's Halloween sale. I made it to Tate's Halloween, and that was cool. You know what to expect from a Tate's tent sale. So it was what I expected. Really good time, really good deals, and they're doing that t-shirt thing where you have your own t-shirt printed right there. And I love that. That's cool. And I have commemorative t-shirts from Tate's events.
Cool.
But the highlight of my weekend was far and away the 25th anniversary party at AGS. And I think I want to spend a few minutes on it just because it was such an event. When they said, we're going to have an anniversary party, I was like, oh, everyone's going to line up first thing at the door, get their free junk, and then trickle out throughout the day, and it'll all be over by like 4 or something like that. And I thought it'd be fun, but I didn't really think that it'd be like a party. And Brian at AGS put on a great event. He didn't even start it. He did his business day. I think they opened at noon, and there was just nothing. There was like, this was a business day. And at 6, the party started. People were lined up. There were some folks that were like, hey, why is everyone, you know, bringing cake and saying happy birthday? And they had no idea what was going on. It was just another day to them. They decorated the store in a dungeony kind of cool flickering candle lights. Not candles, but the little, like, you know, you click them, light that looks like a handle.
Yeah, yeah.
He brought in a dragon cake, like this really cool. It was a Chinese dragon looking thing on a cake that was just made out of like different fruits and different icings, and it was killer. And pretty much for the next probably I'd say 3 or 4 hours, it was a party. Like, it was like he hosted a party in his home, and people walked by and like chatted with people I haven't seen in years, and it was a real, like, festive, like, stand-around social environment. If I had to say there was a drawback to it, I would say that the drawback to it is apparently a lot of people didn't buy anything, which kind of bothers me. But that's just me. I made it a point to spend a little bit of money on the anniversary because I want there to be a 50th. And
yeah.
It was really killer. I took part in a contest leading up to the event, and he told me while I was there that I had actually won. There was a word scramble. You were supposed to complete the names of games you had played at AGS over the last 25 years. And it was really cool. It was just a really neat thing where he was like, yeah, you did this and you got a few wrong and here's what they were. And one of the ones that I didn't get, he had forgotten what it was. So I felt a lot better about that. Like, I felt like, well, I guess no one remembers this game. It wasn't just me. And of course, he gave me a pretty nice prize for winning that. So that was nice, too. I don't know how to describe it. It was not a tent sale. It was not a reason to go there and buy something for 10% off. The guy threw a party in his store and invited his friends. It was awesome. I'm very happy to report, Tom, that while I was chatting with him about my purchases for the evening, I did mention a long lost Seattleite friend who wished he could attend, and he was very gracious about giving me a dice to hold for you.
I'm sure that long lost friend who is me will very much appreciate that when he gets back home.
It was great, man. He made a great speech about how important his customers were to the event and made it all about them. Couldn't ask for more, man. That was an awesome pinnacle to my weekend.
Very cool. So, again, Tate's being the biggest comics and, I guess, toys outlet in our South Florida, well, at least our Broward County / Greater Fort Lauderdale region, if not all of South Florida. And the Adventure Game Store, having been around for 25 years now, hard to believe. And the proprietor of that store being Brian Dalrymple, who we've had on, what, twice now on the show? So great. I'm glad that they've been around so long. And yeah, it'd be really cool to hang out there for a 50th anniversary. That'd be something.
What about you, Tom? What have you been doing this week?
Playing some games. Playing some Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Playing some Borderlands 2 with you. Participating in the 100K loot hunt or whatever they're calling it. Playing some Final Fantasy 14. There's a cool Halloween event going on, and it's all decked out in MMORPG style with jack-o'-lanterns and spooky ghosts and everything. I am really digging the graphic style in that game, and I really like how they're handling the Halloween holiday, too. And started reading the third book in the trilogy from Effinger. The book is called The Exile Kiss. And it is the last novel that he completed prior to passing away. So I'm not looking forward to reaching the end of those stories, but I am looking forward to reading through the rest of that book. I will report back on it when I'm done. And I guess that concludes my update. Fairly brief and to the point, some gaming, a little bit of reading, and sort of packing up shop here in Seattle. This is my last episode in Seattle this year. I will be returning to the greater Fort Lauderdale area for next week's episode, and I will be in the great state of Florida for the foreseeable future. I am taking a pretty cool route on the way home, though, I should mention, passing through Disneyland and Disney World. So I guess that more or less concludes my update for the week. Speaking of gaming, though, that brings us to tonight's topic. I understand, Brian, that you are having some reservations about your reservation of a next-generation system in the immediate aftermath. Or actually, on the day of E3 when they announced the systems, I reserved both, and I think you reserved the PS4, if I'm not mistaken, and now you're second-guessing yourself on that?
It is a weird feeling for me. I'm really excited about the system, but I don't think there's anything in it for launch day for me, and that's kind of confusing to me.
So no titles that appeal to you at all coming out? I mean, what's in the PS4? Can you even think of titles in the PS4 launch lineup at all?
Well, I have a list, but, I mean, I'm cheating.
Well, cheat. I mean, nothing there grabs you?
Well, we've got, Jesus Christ, 75 sports next year editions, Minecraft, yes. DC Universe Online, another racing game, Pinball, Injustice, but... been playing that for 6 months. I mean...
So nothing. You're not a Killzone guy?
It's another first-person shooter. I mean...
It's a very nice-looking first-person shooter.
It is very nice-looking, but I don't know. I'm just... That's what's bothering me. And you'll recall, I think, that I've said all along, I really didn't see the need for a next generation.
Yeah.
I think that's what's getting me. Like, I don't see any of these games really doing anything... Yet, I know the potential is there, but yet that my beloved 360 doesn't do.
How about on the PS4, you're not feeling anything with regard to Knack, that kind of cool action game? Have you looked into that at all?
I'd play it, but like $600 to get into it? I don't know.
Well, this is a $600 starter package. This gets you into the next-gen club. And then once you're in, you have access to exclusive next-gen benefits in the form of really great games coming down the pipe.
The thing that I'm really looking forward to about the next generation, and I think herein lies my confusion, all I want out of the PS4 is the Vita TV.
And that's not a pack-in or really a part of the PS4 package necessarily, right?
It's not even definite. They're not even – they haven't even announced it for America.
Right, right. But even as it exists in Japan, it's not like you buy a Vita TV bundle of the PS4 or anything.
Nope.
That appeals to you because you like the concept of streaming your console experience elsewhere in the house or playing Vita games on a TV or what?
I'm more excited about existing Vita and PSP and PS3 games than I am about anything for the PS4.
Are those offered via the streaming service? Is that how those are consumed through that system?
I wouldn't guarantee that. I'm not sure how that works.
Sony, I know, inked a deal with a prominent streaming technology company. And so if it works in the same way OnLive did...
I think this may not be that, because what you're describing was the service that they intended to roll out all along to provide streamed all new games, right?
Yeah, that was like their nod to backwards compatibility, right? They were going to let you stream last gen and older games, right? So you're saying the Vita TV is different?
I believe it is, because I believe you actually need media, the memory card, plugged in and games downloaded on that from your main system. So it feels different to me. I'm not sure that's the same thing.
Huh, interesting. Regardless, and I'm sure a little internet research could probably shed a little more light on it for us, you are not jazzed about any of the core functionality of the PS4, meaning the next-gen system, the PlayStation Eye, the controller with the cool little light on it. Just nothing really blowing your skirt up.
The controller I'm kind of excited about. I like the idea of the little touchpad behind it. I like the idea that the light is going to be used almost to replace the HUD in some games. I've seen that where it glows red the lower health you are, and that's pretty exciting to me, but I don't know. I don't see anything using it enough yet.
Okay, so let's say that you took your money off of your PS4 reservation because you just weren't sold on it. Could Microsoft count on getting that money plunked down on a brand spanking new Xbox One?
I'm less excited than ever about the Xbox One.
Wow. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not excited and 10 being I really don't want anything to do with this, how unexcited are you about the PS4 versus the Xbox One?
I'm about a 5 or a 6 for PS4, I think, and I'm like a 9 or a 10 for one. I'm just
wow. So you're to the right of the midpoint on the I don't want this scale for both systems, or at the midpoint on the best case for the PS4.
I am sure I will want the PS4 eventually. Like, it's just a matter of until this killer game comes out. Like I said, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a cool machine. I'm just not ready for it. But the Xbox One, man, it's got problems, I think. It's really... I can't get over the whole Big Brother paranoia. I really hate that.
Would you say that the Kinect is the biggest deal breaker for you? Is that what is killing it for you? Or is there more to your sort of dislike of the hardware?
I think it depends on how philosophical you want to get. Philosophically, I think it was designed to be an advertising revenue stream more than it was designed to be a gaming machine because of Kinect. And yeah, that's what I object to about it.
Well, yeah, we've read these stories about this thing gauging your reaction to advertisements and tailoring your experience accordingly. I mean, I agree. It's a little Big Brother-y, a little creepy to think of this device monitoring you in your own home. It's very 1984. Where, what was it? Everybody had a terminal in their home, right?
Yeah. And
if I recall the story right, you never knew if they were watching you or not, so you had to conduct yourself as though they were always watching you.
Right, you had to just assume.
Right, so now, but you know, now Microsoft, like, there's probably not like a Microsoft goon on the other end monitoring you, but they're gathering data. I mean, what, at all times? How does it even work? I don't know the specifics. My every activity is being monitored by my Kinect.
Well, again, it goes back to like the actual philosophy behind it. My concern isn't so much that this machine's going to hear me say Pepsi and then offer me a 10% coupon on Pepsi or anything like that. Mine is that when this machine was designed on paper, they thought about shit like that before they thought about what makes a fun game.
Okay, but to play Redmond's advocate for a moment, you know, they want to deliver you the optimum experience. And yes, that includes advertising. But wouldn't it be nice, you know, if you fired up your Xbox to be offered a deal on some Pepsi? Hey, I heard you were thinking about Pepsi. Just so happens if you head on down to, the local Target store and redeem this coupon code, you get half off a 2-liter of Pepsi. Yeah, something like that.
This is going to sound like horribly negative, and I try to keep it positive, but you know what would be even cooler?
What?
Turning on my Xbox One and getting a fucking game in 1080p.
But okay, you're hung up on 1080p, but I'm offering you discounted Pepsi. I mean, you know, think of the possibilities here. You like you want some Domino's? You're thinking about some Domino's pizza? How about we give you a Pepsi and Domino's coupon? I heard you mention both of those.
Out of the box, the games are going to be radically better on PS4, I believe. And it just freaks me out to think about like 3, 4, 5 years from now. Dude, we're all going to have ultra-def TVs by the time we're ready for a new console. This thing's going to look like shit.
Yeah, but it's going to look like shit while offering you valuable savings on your favorite multimedia items and discounts and recommendations for streaming services like Netflix. Your point is taken. The Kinect, of course, there is the motion control gimmick, that so they're going to expand on that. And I've heard some anecdotal accounts of the new Kinect being much better than the previous Xbox 360 version. So there is the actual motion control component and the voice control and all that. But I really am not super comfortable with having essentially like a Nielsen box plugged into my life, you know, like monitoring my emotions to see whether or not the advertising, the manipulation that is advertising, is effective on me or not.
And I don't want to pretend that I know they are going to do this, but the evidence is out there that they were at one time planning to do this. The thing can measure your heartbeat and determine how excited you are by a product.
I mean, is that true? Does this thing can actually monitor my heartbeat from across the room without me wearing like some kind of a halter or some kind of a monitor?
Well, they advertised that in their reveal. They were like, this thing is so sensitive, it can measure your heartbeat.
Oh, boy.
And if you look at the patents they filed, they filed patents for altering offered advertising based on perceived reactions.
Wow. It's like biometrics or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or telemetry or whatever they call it, remote monitoring.
The consumer backlash, they probably canceled a lot of that. I don't like the verbiage they're using. The last time they came out and they said, no, 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 we are not doing that. We will never do that. There is just no way we'll ever do that unless the customer agrees.
So if you don't opt out of an end user agreement.
So if you want to use your system and you accept the EULA, you agree.
Boy.
That's what scares me. That's where I think they're going, dude.
So let me say this. Even if you're wrong and this is all unfounded, there's still, I don't think you're alone in this perception. And this comes on the heels of, you know, them putting in place this Byzantine scheme for sharing games and all these other missteps and unforced errors that have kind of caused their brand to fall in the public esteem. Yeah, I mean, from a fanboy perspective, if I were a Microsoft fanboy, I would be a little bit worried about at least how strong they are coming out of the gate. I would say that their dominance in the US, where they have been dominant, is not necessarily a guaranteed thing this time around. And if I'm not mistaken, they are not dominant in the other world markets. So they stand to lose their position, possibly.
You know what's really hurt Microsoft and ultimately Xbox One in my eyes recently is the nightmare I've had to go through to play my Xbox 360. They ask for a different email address every damn time I log in lately.
Well, that's sort of a separate issue, but it is a little blockheaded to impose these annoying security upgrade hoops on customers. Right. They want a number they can text, and then they want an alternate email, and then they want...
Well, is that security upgrades, or is that information gathering?
So that's, again, given the rumors flying around out there about Microsoft's new approach going forward, it plants a little bit of doubt in your mind. You wonder if, yeah, this is, well, not only can we tell how your heartbeat reacts to this Dr. Pepper ad, we can text you... He could text you an advertisement. Boy, I don't know. Like, the sort of gee whiz tech enthusiast on me thinks it's kind of cool that they could monitor you like that if you opted into it. But I don't really want to opt into that. I hate to think that I would end up with this can't be the case. There's no way I'm going to end up with like a $500 brick, essentially, because I refuse to let Hal keep an eye on me at all times while I'm trying to play games.
I bet there will be games you can't play. Your system probably won't break. You'll be able to use that, but I bet there are online content you won't be able to access. I bet there's DLC you won't be able to download.
Oh, boy. Boy, I hope not. That silly Better with Kinect slogan is going to, like, proliferate. And then now products are going to be like, Ford, fine automobiles, Better with Kinect. you know, so they're going to be able to integrate so tightly into your life that there will soon be a connect in your automobile. It'll be a connect at work, so your boss can see if you're slacking off or not. This has applications beyond gaming. Once they get into your household as part of as a gaming peripheral, all bets are off, man. Then they're everywhere. Then the whole world is connected. Scary, man. Scary stuff.
Now, you saying that you're excited about the hardware. I am excited about the hardware, and I wish I trust them, because you know what would be really cool? A survival horror game that monitored your heartbeat, and a survival horror game that knew how freaked out you were, and a survival horror game that turned it up the more, like, adrenaline was pumping through you.
Well, okay, that's a possibility. So, I mean, putting aside the dubious advertisement potential out of this thing, you could have a device that actually responds to the way you respond, right? So if you recall the game Left 4 Dead, did you ever play that for the 360 or?
Yeah.
Okay, remember the zombie hordes and how freaked out you would get?
Uh-huh.
You never knew when a game was going to spawn a zombie horde. Well, now the game knows exactly when to spawn a zombie horde, when your level of apprehension is so high that you're, like, ready to, like, that you're, like, on a hair trigger ready to spring.
How awesome would that be?
Well, that would be awesome. So, again, to play Redmond's advocate, let's just say that Microsoft know a little bit more than we give them credit for about how to not alienate their customers. And instead of using this to sell you Pepsi and Doritos and Ford cars, they use it to enhance the gaming experience. Then are you more excited? I mean, I'm not saying this sells you on a launch system because you have these doubts, but could you see yourself adopting an Xbox One down the line if Left 4 Dead 3 features, you know, biofeedback or something like that?
If they earn it, but, like, as a launch system, almost zero chance.
Okay.
And okay. I really think that's a shame.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's the bottom line. Here you were a potential customer, a definite gaming enthusiast who they turned off. I mean, I think they turned you off at E3, but they've only thrown fuel on the fire as the weeks and months have passed by.
It's rough. Dude, I own a CDI. I still own a CDI. That tells you how into it I was.
Wow. Then, you know what? The funny thing about the CDI is it's still more expensive than the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So how likely would you say you are to just forego a launch day PS4?
I'm probably 50-50 right now.
What could change your mind between now and launch? I mean, we're what, like a month out from launch? What could they do to seal the deal?
Vita TV would do it for sure.
So merely announcing Vita TV would sell you on the PS4?
Uh-huh. I think so. Because I know with no uncertainty that I want the Vita TV. And I don't see any reason in buying the 3. Because I guess it'll work with the 3 and you can download all the games and everything. But I don't see any reason for that if you're going to have a 4. Now, if you already have a 3, maybe, you know, that's cool. But if you're going to buy anyway, you may as well buy the latest and greatest.
What kind of exclusive game could they announce that might get you to sign up?
We don't even have to do theory. The day Destiny comes out, I'll buy it.
Okay. And is Destiny cross-plat?
Don't know, don't care.
Okay. So I believe it is cross-platform. That's my recollection. Wait a minute. Now, is Destiny in the distant future? I mean, is that a guaranteed PS4 game? Is it not?
I wouldn't call it distant future, but it's you know, not launch.
Okay. So you could save your money until that game came out if you didn't want to buy a launch system. How do you feel about a friend of yours who's getting a PS4 and he's going to want you to have one on launch day so you can share in the joy and the experience of getting online and playing together?
What are we going to play?
How about Killzone?
First-person shooter. Why don't we just keep playing Borderlands?
I really do like Borderlands.
Really like Borderlands. That's my thing, man. You think Killzone's going to be more fun than Borderlands? You think Killzone's going to be more fun than the DLC they release for Borderlands?
No. You know what is going to be cool is... I don't know if I have any games to sell you on the PS4. Let me consult the list. Okay, so as I'm consulting a list of launch titles courtesy of IGN, I see that there is indeed a somewhat thin list of games coming out. So it won't take long for us to go through the biggies. How are you feeling about the Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag?
exactly the same as I felt about Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3.
So you're a huge fan of the series and can't wait for this installment?
I haven't played a single one.
Neither am I. I've got nothing for you. Neither am I. How about Battlefield 4?
I'm sure it's very pretty, but what does it do that's not just another first-person shooter?
Ah.
Isn't it actually coming out for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360?
It is coming out for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 and Xbox One, and I'm getting it for the Xbox 360 and then doing the upgrade to the Xbox One. So this is a no-go for me on the PS4.
So we'll play it on Xbox 360.
Okay.
Saves me like $500.
It looks a lot nicer on the next-gen consoles. And what does it do differently? The buildings fall down and stuff while you're in them. It's got some like terrain explodes. It's kind of cool.
But the 360 is going to do that too.
Yeah, but it's not going to look as cool. It's not going to look as good. Look, I'm buying Battlefield 4 for like 2 weeks. I'm paying like $10 to upgrade it. So it's totally worth it to me. But if you're not a Battlefield fan, I can't force you on this one. Let me go in a radical new direction after discussing Battlefield. How are you feeling about Call of Duty Ghosts?
See above.
Yes, indeed.
It's coming out for 360 and PlayStation 3.
I
want new and exciting games. I want games that can't be done now.
Okay, so DC Universe Online does not fit that description. A fun game. I actually enjoyed playing that on the PS3. Like
3 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, let me scroll down. I got you. I hear you. Here you go. I got you. FIFA 14, which I think is also a cross-platform release on the PS2 and 3. How you feeling about some FIFA? You a big soccer fan?
I am more likely to buy this on the PlayStation 2 just because it is actually coming out for the PlayStation 2.
We've already sort of discussed Injustice: Gods Among Us. Is that a DC fighter sort of thing?
Yeah, DC, like, you know, huge characters, awesome Aquaman, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, like, fun. Been playing it for 6 months.
More awesome-looking characters on the next-gen console doesn't sell you.
No.
Just Dance 2014.
Just no.
Moving on. Killzone Shadowfall. Now, before you answer, I will say that I played this at PAX. It stood out as a very gorgeous game. It was beautiful. It was sharp, crisp. Good frame rate, at least as I recall. I remember it stood out in my mind among all the FPS games I played, and I'm a fan of the Killzone series. How are you feeling about it?
It is the launch title I am most likely to purchase. I will play through that game once, play multiplayer for a week, and decide that I can't stand people who play multiplayer with. And then I'll ask myself, well, why did I just spend money on a PlayStation for a week?
Okay, so you don't see Killzone having for you the replay value that it might be for me, somebody who can hang with a multiplayer FPS experience for longer.
I don't see Killzone having the replay value that Borderlands 2 does. I hate to go back to it, but that's like my bar right now.
Borderlands 2 is cooperative, it has fun missions, and yeah, it's like a whole different kettle of fish. I don't even know if you can. They're first person shooters, but Borderlands is a completely different spin on that formula. This one I think I can sell you on Knack. This looked good. I liked the way it played. When I say it looked good, it was very sharp looking, very pretty. Any interest in that one?
It looks good. I don't know. Like, early adapter, gotta have it right away good? It's not knocking my socks off.
It's got a... What was that first action game that came out on, like, the 360... when it came out? It was very pretty, but it was not... It was a pretty game, but when I bought my 360, the guy warned me away from buying it. Oh, gosh, I don't remember. It was a very pretty fairy-based like action game. You remember it at all? Cameo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was pretty and looked nice, but everybody was like, no, don't. And so I didn't.
That is the perfect example, because I always felt that Cameo was a really cool last generation game on new generation machines.
Well, I don't think Knack necessarily fits that description. I think it looked next gen to me. I won't say it looked mind-blowing next gen, but it looked very good.
That's all we got. That's all we got is like higher polygon count.
Yeah. Lego Marvel Super Heroes. Is that a new Lego title, or is that a rehash of an existing one?
Aren't they all rehashes? I mean...
You've had it with the Lego series?
The whole Lego series?
Madden we can skip. Minecraft is probably a watered-down version of the PC game I never played. NBA 2K14. I thought the 2K series was like toast. Those are still around? Or just the NFL?
Oh, I think NFL 2K is done for. I don't think they lost the license or something. I don't know.
Yeah, EA has an exclusive NFL license, but they must not have an NBA exclusive license. So NBA 2K14? No? Not blowing your skirt up? Okay. What about NBA Live 14?
No.
Oh, Need for Speed Rivals. Now, here's a racing game that actually looks kind of cool. Might be fun.
It might be, but when was the last time you played a racing game? Serious question, what's the last racing game you played?
The last major Forza release that came out, not the one that came out after that, which was a year or more ago, maybe 2 years ago.
And how many cool racing games have come out since then?
There have been a handful. I buy a racing game now and then, I'll say. But I'm more into a Forza or a Gran Turismo than an arcadey Need for Speed game. So I might try this out. I don't know.
That's kind of exactly how I feel. I'm like, one day. I'll
just go to Blockbuster and rent the games. Oh, wait, there are no more.
Gamefly.
Oh, yeah, okay. Maybe I'll do that. But then they'll send me Borderlands 2. You have a queue and they send you what they have. Playroom. They're listing that as a pack-in. Is that going to come with my PS4?
I've never even heard of Playroom, dude. What is that?
It apparently is some kind of fun interactive pack-in game.
So it's that snail game that came with the actual Sega Master System?
I don't know. IGN's saying some favorable things about it. They're saying it's some kind of an augmented reality experience. So we'll see. We'll reserve judgment. I honestly, this is the first I'm hearing of it. Sound Shapes? I don't know what that is.
Resogun? Maybe. Hmm. But then you go into the whole thing, you're spending, what is it, $3.99, $4.99, however much it is, and you're buying PSN games?
Now, I know PSN games have that stigma of being like a cheaper, lower value game. Resogun, what is it, a shooter of some sort?
It's a tech demo. Shooter with a lot of lens flare and what do they call it? The little sparkly explosions.
All right, no, not a system seller. Skylanders, you got a lot of room in your house for some figurines that you can display. I know Rick's a big Skylanders guy. I wish he was here to comment on this.
I'm into painting my own figurines.
So Skylanders Paint Force might sell you, but Swap Force is not exciting you at all. Super Motherload, what's that all about?
This is the iPhone game, isn't it?
It looks like an iPhone game, yes. Switch Galaxy Ultra, yeah. I'm really trying to like pull a Blockbuster system seller out of my out of somewhere, and I'm not having any luck. I mean, we're at the end of IGN's list here, and apart from Killzone, like Killzone's my launch title, and if you're not going to buy that, I don't know what to say.
I don't either, man.
So I want one exclusive for each system when they come out. So Killzone's an exclusive. I don't know what exclusive is coming out on the Xbox One that I want. So now to quickly peruse the list of launch titles for the Xbox One, we won't go through these in so much detail because I'm the only one of us getting the Xbox One, so...
Yeah, look at the overlap. We won't go into detail because we've been there.
Right, I mean, if I'm skipping the games that we've already been over on the PS4 list, then there's like two-thirds of the list is gone by default. Leaving Crimson Dragon, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the Panzer Dragoon-looking game, is it not? Ooh, I might pick that up. That's nice. That's an Xbox Live game, though, so I don't have to buy anything. I just download that. That's kind of exciting. Kind of happy about that. Dead Rising 3. You ever play the Dead Rising series?
Yeah, they were fun.
My sentiment's exactly like, oh, yeah, I remember having fun with that. Yeah, I would accept that as a gift from someone.
Again, you keep touching on all of these things. I cannot name the last video game I actually went out and bought. Borderlands 2 was a gift. Dragon's Dogma was a gift. What was it called? Oh, God. Quickening?
Oh, Kingdom of Amalur, The Reckoning.
Reckoning was a gift.
Most of those gifts were from me, I think, too.
Uh-huh. I mean...
Well, I mean, you might just be down on gaming.
I hope not, man. I hope not.
This is just such a far cry from where you were post E3. Fighter Within, I don't know what that is. Killer Instinct, I played this at PAX and I really liked it. I think that might be a launch day game for me.
Another perfect example of why I don't trust these people. Killer Instinct's going to be like the pack-in or whatever. you get like four playable characters, and then you have to buy packs of $5 each for players and $5 each for outfits and $5 each for new fields. And it's going to cost you like $120 by the time you're done buying the damn game.
Wait, is that so? Or is it that I get a cheaper game, and then by the time I buy all the add-ons, I've purchased like a regular retail game?
If you want to pay for a demo, you get a cheaper game. And by the time you buy all the add-ons and everything, you paid a lot for what should have been a $49.99 disc.
I mean, I'm not a tightwad. I would just buy the full version if such a thing were for sale. I noticed in jumping so eagerly to Killer Instinct that I skipped Forza Motorsport 5. That's a definite for me. I like Forza. I like Forza on a next-generation console.
I'm happy for you.
No? Well, you're not even getting the... I'm trying to... Now it's I have to do double duty to sell you on a system you're not even intending to get.
I haven't even been gifted a racing game in a couple of years.
I could gift you Forza 5, and then you could go buy an Xbox One. Boy, a lot of this is definitely overlap. I mean, all the sports games, you got the Need for Speed Rivals, Power Star Golf. Never mind, there's my system seller. I love the game of golf, I love the culture surrounding golf, and I definitely love playing golf on a console. Or not. Rise, Son of Rome. I'm still not sure how to feel about this, because it looked beautiful at PAX. I couldn't get near it. People complain that it had this genesis as like a Kinect QuickTime game, but from what I understand, they put in like respectable controls, and it's actually like a game now.
The demo you saw had like 250,000 polygons. And the game they're releasing has 60,000. That's lame. That's a marketing device.
Well, all they did, they took the 250,000 polygons and they divided it into like roughly five chapters. The polygons are there. They're just not all. They didn't waste them all in one.
I really feel in my heart of hearts they took those polygons and spent them on processing power, reading your heartbeat, making sure you're finishing off that code before you start a new one or something like that. Like.
Well, listen.
All that weird shit that I don't give a flying wasn't running in the background of my system, it might have 250,000 polygons still.
Look, if I can sacrifice 160,000 of the 250,000 polygons to be left with like 90,000 or whatever it was to get a better deal on Hot Pockets and Pringles, I'm going to do it, man. I'm all about that. I want to be marketed to effectively more than I want to play games on my gaming console.
I'm clearly in the minority.
Well, you know what else you'd be in a minority on? People not excited about this next title, and probably the last one I'm going to mention.
Please say Peggle 2.
Well, I was going to say Zoo Tycoon. Come on, you want to run a next-gen zoo with me. You know it's better with Kinect. You get to pet the animals. The animals monitor your heartbeat, so the lions turn on you if you're too excited and kill you. The zebras come up and like nuzzle you if they sense that you're upset.
I actually love that idea. You can't let them smell fear.
Yes. Yes.
I would play that.
No self-respecting zoo tycoon shows fear in the face of a lion, or else he can't be a zoo tycoon.
If your heartbeat's too high, they rebel.
Yes. 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 The primates throw feces at you if you show too much emotion when entering their habitat. It doesn't sound like I'm going to convert you to the Xbox One, man. But I'm glad we had this conversation. I'm not glad that all of the excitement in the immediate aftermath of E3 has burned away. But I'm glad that I'm going into this next generation with my eyes open. You know, I'm going to have a handful of nice-looking games, but I'm going to be playing my 360 and my PS3 for a while still before the next gen lineup takes over. But that's always the case, isn't it?
Maybe I don't remember old releases. I have this feeling that I was more excited about at least one game that was coming out.
I think console launches are always a little light on the top tier games. Fortunately, I've got a backlog of like current generation stuff to play through, so I think that'll see me through until better things come out. And I think that's what you need to take away from this conversation. You need to get the PlayStation 4 because of the peer pressure I'm applying now and the peer pressure I'm going to continue to apply between now and the launch date, because nobody wants to be a sucker by themselves. Everybody wants their friends to like jump off the cliff with them. So let's get PS4s. Let's be friends on the PlayStation Network. That would make 100% more friends than I currently have on the PlayStation Network. And let's play Killzone for a week, and then we'll go back to playing Borderlands. There you go. There's my sales pitch.
Peer pressure is your sales pitch. Peer pressure, and it looks better.
Yeah, you're not gonna get this quality graphics on it. current gen system. Well, look, I won't ask that you commit to a next generation system right now before our wide listening audience, but I do hope you'll think about it. And come the next generation system launch, our listeners will find out just who bought what and whether you decided to take the plunge or not.
I'm hoping I have a change of heart or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I do know. I know that if I was looking for a nice podcast to listen to, I would subscribe via iTunes to the Nerd Extravaganza podcast. Having been impressed by that podcast, I would definitely rate it favorably and write it a positive review. And if I were inclined to listen through streaming as opposed to iTunes, I would definitely check out the Nerd Extravaganza podcast on Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on, what do you do on Instagram? I don't know.
It's called Graham Cracker and it's really cool.
Graham Cracker us on Instagram.
And if you are more inclined towards a website experience, definitely check out nerdstravaganza.com, where you can find, among other things, our email address, which is nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. Drop us a line. You might be surprised by our witty response. And with that said, Brian, I'll let you take us out, since you were the inspiration for tonight's episode.
Game over, yeah!
That was great. Oh, that was perfect.